Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined by the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks, Jason McGovern and Chris Kalin. Good to see Chris back in the studio with us tonight. And as always, there is so much to talk about. We're going to touch upon the defeat on the weekend, 3-0. When will this nightmare end? We just want it to go away and we can start being a little bit more positive on the show. But we will look and talk about all things Spurs. But we want you to get involved. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Tonight we're going to be talking about that game, talking about the manager's future, talking about the ball, looking at the games to come. But already, and it is the Spurs Fan Show, it's what happens, we've been joined by a caller. LP has called straight into the studio. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you want to touch straight away on the show to talk about the manager, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, mate. Just want to talk about what's been going on recently and what everyone on social media keeps saying about him and his future.
And what do you feel about it? What are they saying on social media? Is it changed your opinion at all? What are you thinking?
No, I mean, all I'm seeing, well, from majority of the Spurs fans, which I'm interacting with, they want Pochettino out. And I just feel like I don't really tweet much about that just because of how much backlash you get for giving your opinions on this. But I feel like Pochettino, like what he's done for us in the last 5 years or 5.5 years, is like, if you told us we'd be Champions League finalists consistently fighting for that top three in 2014 when he took over, we'd take it with like open arms. And he's kind of been, it's been, I can understand where they come from when they say, oh, it's been 5.5 years, we haven't won a trophy. But it's about sustaining, like, seeing development, and we're seeing that each year. And last year, you know, we reached the Champions League final. Yes, it was a bit lucky, you know, here and there with the VAR situations and whatnot, but you need that bit of luck to get to the final. And I think it's just a bit of a taste of what to expect under Pochettino, but it's just up to us to actually stick by him, because how much he's done for us, it's his first actual rough period, and he's given us the right to remain patient instead of us just going right behind his back after the first blip we've had.
LP, it's Rick. It's nice to hear your voice on here. Nice to have you on. Can I be honest with you? I still want him to stay, but my biggest concern is that whether he truly believes in his heart that he can turn this around. And I think that's the biggest question mark. I mean, to the press, he seems to indicate that he still has the hunger, the desire, the courage to still want to be there. But I do just wonder, behind the closed doors, whether he truly believes that he can actually go ahead and then do another rebuild, because there is so many players to move on. And, you know, he hasn't stopped flirting with Real Madrid for the previous 6 years. We have to say that he's always kind of left that open. I think he's also stated his interest in the Argentina job. And where I am with Maurizio now is that as much as I want him to stay, I think that if he resigned from the club, then I wouldn't be as devastated as what I would have been 4 months ago. And that's probably the first time I've actually come on air and said that. I do actually believe that where I am now as a fan, I support Tottenham. I love Pochettino, but Tottenham still comes first for me. And my sole importance is to see the club progress. And we have to ensure we have got someone there fully committed. And the stories coming out close to the club of sources just tells me, as I think everybody knows, that all is not well behind the scenes.
I don't actually know anybody who actually wants Pochettino out. Like, who the people who actually go to the games. I know on social media it's very negative, and Spurs lose a game and you go on social media and it is dreadful.
Toxic. It's toxic, isn't it?
It really is bad. And but I don't actually know anyone who actually wants him out. And even when we were 2-0 down at Brighton, all the fans in the Spurs end were still singing his name. And I think that the fans are still getting behind him.
LP, we really thanks for calling into the studio. We really appreciate you there. I just want to quickly touch upon what you said there, Chris, because I do want to look at that game. But let's quickly talk about it. I'm glad you said that you feel like all the Spurs fans you know don't want the manager to leave. The fans are singing his name. It's just people on Twitter. And even when people are asking me, I'm like, people are saying to me, do they really want the manager out? And I'm like, no, I don't think they want the manager out. No. I can't see why they would want the manager out. So would you say the fans 100% still behind him? It's just the ones we hear on social media. How big is the split in the camp between people that want him to stay and want him to go?
It is difficult because even at half-time when we were 2-0 down at Brighton, there were some boos coming from the away end. You know, obviously fans are very unhappy about losing games like that. But I think overall, people look at the overall picture and they do think that, you know, back in 2014 when he arrived, where were Tottenham? Did you ever think that we were getting a Champions League final? And I know we keep using that line all the time. I certainly do. But
highlight how far you've come.
These were dreams, and of course we are getting Champions League football year after year, and he has taken us a very long way.
Well, let's quickly talk about that game then. I know it was a painful one. We don't want to linger on it for too long. Jace, what were your first impressions of the game? What, now that it's been a few days, have you changed your mind slightly, you know, after the knee-jerk reaction is out of the way and that first emotion has gone?
Can't we talk Rooney and Vardy or something?
Maybe 8-9. We'll do a Colleen Rooney fan show. Yeah, we'll get a few calls about that.
No, it was a horrific day. It had the worst possible start in terms of a result. But you and I were just saying outside, in terms of showing, of needing to show some real character and some real spine, it was almost the perfect start, if you see what I mean, because it gave you something, adversity to come back from. And you had... We had over 90 minutes, because don't forget, people talk about a 90-minute game, but it's always 97, 98 minutes, isn't it? So you've got 90-odd minutes to come back against a side with one win in 16, who failed to score in 10 of those 16 games or something. So it was a real chance for that side to show character and spine, and there was absolutely none of it. And we've been really critical of want-away players, of players that get it and things like that. But we have to be honest and say that some of the players that we've defended through that, the Eric Lamellas, the Harry Canes, the people like that, they also failed miserably on that day. And they was equally as responsible as any of the want-away players.
My biggest worry would be on that game, and Chris, you're on that because you were there, is that when Lloris, obviously, that error he made and he was being stretched off, the lack of communication amongst those players in that 7-minute spell when Hugo was down receiving treatment, there didn't appear to be anyone. I mean, Chris, you mentioned Heung-min Son was trying to G up some of the players. But apart from that, that's where you want Harry Kane, who's wearing that captain's armband, to galvanise his group and say, look, it's 1-0. And like Jason, it's against a side that, in reality, that's one win, I think, at home, or one win at home all season, or I think one win at all in the
March,
league.
No home win since March,
but one Premier League win all season. That was on the opening day. That is where you want your captain, your leader, to really get hold of this group and say, look, this is our opportunity now, with that bit of adversity that we're going to face, to come back, show a reaction. And what just worries me is how, Jason put it, spineless we was.
Where I slightly disagree with you, in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, it's not even the captain that does it. It's every single
there
one
are
of
no
those
leaders.
But no one, but it's no one.
You know,
that's
you,
the
you
worry.
Shouldn't need your captain to tell you in those circumstances. But you should be sitting there thinking, this is not good enough.
It's not just that, though. We have heard also that even in the dressing room after the Bayern Munich game, Maurizio kind of left the players to it. He didn't even go in the dressing room after the game straight away. He left the players to have an inquest. And
I'm
okay with that, but I still think as a manager, he should be going in there full front and saying, this is not acceptable, it's not good enough.
But to have no reaction at all.
That's the biggest worry.
We have conceded 7 goals at home for the first time in our history, midweek. Mm. And then to go to Brighton, every single player should be saying to one another, right, let's do this, you know, let's play for the badge and let's, you know, give 100%. Even from the second minute, and I know I don't like picking players out, but Lamella, you know, didn't close the cross down, Lloris dropped the ball, goal went in. And as you said, Jace, outside, you know, if you can't react from that, seeing your captain being stretchered off, there are so many things, and the communication was poor throughout the whole of the 90 minutes. It was awful. It was probably one of the worst Spurs games I've ever been to.
Jace, you disagreed with Ricky there, what he had to say about the manager afterwards. Were you disagreeing? Sorry, you was not...
To me, I think it happens a lot when you suffer big defeats at all clubs. It's not always the manager goes straight in the dressing room afterwards. I think other top managers will say it's not the time to go in and rant and rave. It is a time to let players absorb what's happened first. And more often than not, you do have those talks the following day. So I didn't have a problem with him saying to the players, you sort it out.
Chris, you were there, you were at the game. I want to ask, and I've got to admit, I watched the game, it was on TV. I watched it with a friend of mine, and Spurs obviously went 1-0 down. We both looked at each other and we went, Spurs are going to absolutely blow them out of the water now. I went, this is it. I went, they're going to run away with the game. I'd laugh if you want, maybe, but am I don't want to say deluded, but I keep, even with a Munich game, I'm going, Spurs are going to turn this around now. I went, this is where we go. We're going to see the reaction, and we're not seeing it. So do I not know how bad it's got? How bad has it got? Why are we not seeing this?
I didn't realise how bad it got until Brighton, I tell you. To concede 10 goals in a week, Bayern Munich, yeah, fair enough. You can say it was a freak result. Pochettino said it was a freak result. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Brighton 3-0 away is a freak result. It is not what we are used to. Dreadful, dreadful week, and we do need to turn it around very, very quickly, and major changes need to be made. But my biggest worry is the fact that the players, such lack of communication towards one another, they just don't look up for it. They don't look like want to kick a ball. They don't look like they want to close down. There is so many things wrong at the moment.
But this is the problem, Ricky, and I want to bring you in, because I'm watching it and I'm going, we're going to see the fight back of some sorts here. And you know, when a team goes on a bad run, you can look at a team, like you said, Brighton haven't won since X amount. You go, or Man United, they're in a similar, not a great run at the minute. You go, oh, Newcastle might get a result over Man United. I keep going every weekend, Tottenham are going to bounce back here. You wait and see. And when Tottenham do lose and they lost on the weekend, I am stunned. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Is that the feeling as well?
I think you've got to be realistic and say that you saw our form towards the back end of last season domestically. And is it much of a surprise? I mean, you take away the element of the hysteria of that Champions League run, but if you see Tottenham's form over the last 6 to 9 months, it's mirroring what we've been seeing, to be honest with you. And my biggest concern is that people can dress it up as sources being close to the club or not being close to the club, but when you are hearing these continual stories coming out about players feeling like it's a regime and they're underpaid and they're all these stories, it's coming. Listen, Jason's shaking his head, but at the end of the day, you have to believe there's some foundation. There's someone is leaking this. Someone is, and it's come from a source that's the Athletic. We've had Jack Pickbrook on. He's fairly close to the football club. I think you have to take elements of what's being said as partly facts. I think you have to, and it is true. There is definitely issues behind the scenes. We know players want to go. We know players are being divisive. So, Jace, when you shake your head, I'm stunned that you can't see any truth in those facts.
No, I don't doubt that some of those stories that I disagree with is that some of those complaints of the players, I think, you know.
Why could you not believe some of them are unhappy? In terms of their money,
no,
in terms of the overpaid?
No, I'm not saying I don't believe they are. Mm. I'm saying they have no reason to be. I mean, I'm underpaid. If somebody comes to you for 2 years and says, do you want an 80% pay rise? And you keep saying no, how can you then complain you're underpaid?
But for someone like Jan Vertonghen, who it could be allegedly just over the length of the contract, why he's not signing a new deal when he sees Sissoko getting a 4-year contract, you could maybe understand why he'd be frustrated, right? Or not? Does he not think he's done enough to warrant a longer contract?
I look at his form now and think he's lucky to be offered a 2-week contract.
Rick, the thing that worries me, and whenever it's going wrong, you know, we always hear these sources and all the whispers come out. The manager's been there 6 years now, and now we're only hearing of this regime. The players don't like being under it. When it was all going well and fantastic, we didn't hear about this regime. There wasn't a problem then. So why now? Why do the players not like it all of a sudden? It was fine last season or the season before when it was going well.
Exactly. Excuses.
You say it's excuses, but also I think when you've got a huge amount of players that have been at the same club under the same manager for 6 or 7 seasons. And I think there was that stat after match of day. It showed that Tottenham have had the most 7 or 8 players that have been there over a course of such a long time. And naturally, when things are winning, you don't question certain things. But believe me, when you are not winning games and it's the same routine where Maurizio watches you, what you have for dinner and what time you're coming in the morning, and it's not the most easiest thing in these double training sessions, when you are not winning, that is where it becomes a frustration for the players. And you can see things aren't changing. And for Maurizio, look, I love him, but the thing for me is that we know he can be quite stubborn in his tactical approach. And I just think that's where players are getting really, really frustrated.
Chris, what do you make of that? The sources, the manager, we'll bring you in on it.
I think that, you know, obviously some players are unhappy. You can see that. But the thing, like I said, what really worries me is when players aren't talking to one another on the field, And, you know, they're not only teammates, they're friends outside the game. So when they're not talking to each other on the pitch and just so disinterested, even when the game has just started, and even when we went 2-0 down, you just expect a reaction. And the thing that has upset me more than anything is that none of the players, apart from Serge Aurier and Sissoko, have actually come out and done any form of apology. Maurizio Pochettino thanked the fans for coming to Brighton, but there's no form of apology saying, you know, we're going to try and put this right, and, you know, we're sorry to all the fans for the awful displays during that week. And that's something that does really upset me.
Do you feel like they do need to address it in this
time? I do, definitely. Absolutely do. You know, when you got players like Sissoko coming out and saying something, where is everyone else? Where are the leaders saying, we will put this right? We're really sorry for the abysmal performances. We will put this right. I want to hear some fighting talk. And the thing is, what is really frustrating with Poch, I'm a huge fan of Poch, and I think that you should be very careful what you wish for next, because completely. I think he's taken us...
the grass isn't always greener.
Exactly, but... It's a very, very tricky situation. It really is.
But the flip side of that narrative is when the players do come out, and we've spoken on this show about Lloris speaking about it, we go, we don't want to hear him saying these things. We don't want to hear him being honest and open. Do you understand that a little bit? The players are scared now because they're going to be judged on whatever they say.
But all of the negativity on Twitter and all of the negativity on social media has been created a lot by what Pochettino has said in press conferences. The more he opens his mouth, the more worry that it puts into all the fans. And that's why all these stories start going off.
They do. Well, this debate isn't going away. We're going to be talking about it a lot further. But you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Next, we will be continuing to discuss the manager.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. We still want you to get involved. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. I'm joined with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern and Chris Callin. We're talking about the manager. I have to ask, there's been loads of rumours. Will the manager stay? Will the manager go? Already, someone has put a question in on YouTube. This is genuine. Watching the stream now, which you can watch us as well. Don't watch me, but you can watch the other three. It says... Mourinho in, please. Genuine on YouTube right now. So
come on, Rick.
Kick off.
Come on, Rick.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Yeah. So I want to say, I'm going to try and be bold, brave, and say this. As I've said, I want Maurizio Pochettino to stay at the football club as long as he wants to be there. However, if Maurizio feels in his heart that he can take the club no further forward, and Spurs are looking around for the next best manager,
get off that fence.
I don't want Gareth Southgate. I don't want Eddie Howe. I want a winner. And Jose Mourinho wins trophies. Yes, it's not the most prettiest of football, but let me be honest about something. The football hasn't been that pretty for the last couple of seasons. And with Mourinho, I just feel Tottenham are at a point where they need a manager that can get them over that line. And people will tell me Mourinho will not have a long-term vision at a football club. At the end of the day, whatever happens with Tottenham, they are in a rebuild. And there has to be money there in order to take the club forward. Now, I'm not saying Mourinho is the right person to trust in terms of spending £200 million, but I do feel Tottenham need a winner to take the club forward. And if it wasn't going to be Mourinho, and Pochettino does feel he's taking the club as further as he can, I would like to see Ancelotti come in. I just want to see someone that has been in the Premier League, won trophies, managed top players. I just do not want to see Eddie Howe or Gareth Southgate at my football club. They are not good enough for where Tottenham want to go. And for the ambition of a fan, you go to that stadium to see the team. You want to have regular Champions League football. You want to regularly compete for trophies. As I said, I want a top-class manager that will win us trophies.
Just to ask you a question, what if the manager did leave and Harry Kane really strongly vouched for Gareth Southgate? And said he's got the best out of me for England.
Listen,
he hasn't. I'm just saying. Let's just hypothetically.
I'm a fan of Tottenham, but I've got to be honest and say to you, as much as Harry might want in there, I'd be very hard to be behind that appointment. But I would have to be behind the appointment because I'm a Tottenham fan. But it wouldn't fill me with great comfort thinking that he could take us forward. I just don't think he could.
Did you want Pochettino, or did you want Louis van Gaal?
I'll be honest with you, again,
won trophies.
I was unsure on both, Jace, because they weren't proven in the Premier League.
Well, we're going to come back to this conversation because he's definitely got the legs, but we've had a call into the studio, this time from Dave. Dave, what are your thoughts on the manager?
Yeah, I think he's done a fantastic job over the years, over the 6 years he's been. And I think Chris Cowling would agree with me that I still think he's got time. I still think he's got legs. I heard the other callers talking about Mourinho and Eddie Howe, not being not wanting them. And the thing is, where do you go after you've had Pochettino? Because yes, I mean, I think that the trouble is, I think the tactics have got stale. You know, yes, we were high pressing. We did high pressing for half an hour against Bayern Munich, and then we know what happened next. We ran out of gas, and so what? Whether that is over training the players, they've had the same methods for a number of years, and I just think we need a new. I mean, I think he can still provide a new blueprint for us. But I think he needs to get the players on board. There's been so much unrest after the Champions League defeat, and I just don't know who else is out there. You're talking about people are talking about Ancelotti or Mourinho. But yes, they are winners, Eddie Howe and Southgate are fresh faces. I mean, basically, you'd be starting at ground zero again. You'd be doing a Solskjaer. I just can't see it. I think there is still legs in the manager, and I just think the system's got stale. We've sold Trippier, which we shouldn't have sold. I know he wanted to go, but I mean, I think we should have made overtures to him, because basically we've been left with no right backs. He doesn't trust Kyle Walker. And Aurier is mission impossible. I mean, he's either he gets sent off or he gives away a penalty or he goes missing. So, but, you know...
Other than that, he's all right, isn't he?
I just, you know, he has made mistakes, obviously. Every manager makes mistakes over the years. And now we're left with, reserve goalkeeper for 3 or 4 months as well now. So... you're talking about the manager. I would stick with the manager, but he needs to drum up some fresh ideas of a way to play, because when Kane gets injured, Sonny goes to the forefront and he plays brilliantly. And then as soon as Harry comes back, everything goes through Harry and Sonny goes off. So you've got to think about where we go next, really, because there's no Llorente anymore. We haven't got plan B. So where do we go from there?
Dave, Chris here. Hello. I completely agree with you, the fact about Pochettino, and I think it's very disrespectful that a lot of people are talking about managers, other managers' names.
Well,
I really
do. He's overachieved, hasn't he?
Well, this is his sixth season in charge. He's got us to a Champions League final. What frustrates me as a fan, though, is the fact that he has come so close to winning, you know, the major trophy.
Yeah.
I don't think that we were that far away from winning a Premier League trophy and really challenging. Mm. If we would have invested a little bit more money, because let's face it, if Pochettino left tomorrow and Jose Mourinho come in, well, Pochettino's going to need to spend money anyway. So regardless of who's spending it, it needs to be spent, because it looks like Ericsson's out the door, Toby and Jan are out the door, people are talking about a lot of the players going stale and other players leaving. So it is a really big rebuild.
But the thing about it, Chris, is for me, you say it's disrespectful to about other managers.
He's still in the job.
Yeah, but we are just responding to the latest speculation at the moment. And the fact of the matter is that when you are on the run we're on, you have to question the managers. Whether you question some of these players? And you can't hide away from the fact that I love Maurizio Pochettino. And as I said again, for me, I want Maurizio to stay as long as he wants to be in the job. But again, you've said it before, Jace, you just question whether behind the scenes he truly believes in his mind that he can oversee another rebuild. It's such a big job for someone that has been there for six seasons to then go again from ground zero and start to rebuild another squad. I just don't know if he's got the hunger there. Like I said, I want him to stay. If he truly believes in his heart, he can take the club forward.
Well, Dave, we really appreciate you calling into the studio. Thank you so much for talking a little bit about the manager. You can call us on 0208 70 20 558. Just very quickly, because he mentioned Kieran Trippier, and there is a tweet here. Do you see similarities between Trippier's poor form last year after the World Cup and our poor form after the Champions League? He was thinking the whole game, don't mess up, don't mess up, the entire 90 minutes. If you concentrate on mistakes, which is what he did, how can we expect to see improvement and creativity when there is so much negativity and pressure?
I don't know. I don't have a problem that we sold Kieran Trippier. I think we should have sold Kieran Trippier. He wasn't good enough. Simple as that. The problem is that you perhaps haven't replaced him in the way that we thought we wanted him replaced. In fairness to Pochettino, the player that he thinks he's going to replace him hasn't kicked a ball. So you have to consider that. But for me, we weren't wrong to sell Kieran Trippier whatsoever. He wasn't good enough. He's playing... he may well be playing in a slightly different system under Simeone, so the fact that he's playing better in Madrid doesn't make me regret selling him in one little bit.
That tweet was from Nick Donovan. This next one's from Matt Gibbons. He says, I think if a situation arises where the manager can leave with all parties happy, that's what will happen, because I'm not sure he's happy at Spurs at this current time. The chairman doesn't want to sack him, he doesn't want to walk, so they're both playing a waiting game.
I think Maurizio's determined to not leave the club in the current situation it finds it. I think you want to go out on a high. And as a fan, for me, I would be absolutely gutted if he left this club with not something to show for it. I want him to win a trophy. More than anything, it would mean so much to me if we win something under him, more than Mourinho, more than Ancelotti, more than any other top manager out there, because he is the one that has laid the foundation from the very start. He got rid of the players that didn't want to be there. He put a team in place that were fighting for the badge. We fell in love with the way he brought these youngsters in. So, of course, we all want him to succeed. But all I'm saying is when you're responding to questions about other managers, you have to have an open mind that he maybe, Chris, doesn't want to be there. That's the
but
only
what
thing
you just said, he can do that again.
Do you think he's got... Okay, so do you honestly think in your heart of hearts that he has got the courage, desire, strength to do it again?
Yeah, I do.
So
yes,
you think he's got another five, six years in the job?
He's said a number of times that he wants to be at Tottenham for a very long time.
Mm.
Wants to be like the Arsene Wenger of Tottenham.
I want to see his body language show
that,
Chris. You've said it yourself. His body language worries you.
Everyone's body language worries me at the moment.
But the manager's the leader, right? The manager's the leader. He should be, you know, if anyone, you want him to show that body language that he cares.
When those 11 players go on the pitch, what more can he do? What more can he do when those 11 players are... He's said a number of times this season, and I'm not sticking up for him, I'm just saying, he has said a number of times this season that they haven't stuck to his game plan.
Well, Chris asked the question, what more can he do? What do you think, what more can he do? We want to hear from you. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558, because we will be continuing this discussion next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern and Chris Callin. It has been a fiery one tonight. We're talking all the time. We're debating the manager, we're debating the team, the chairman, the board. There is still so much to come. Before we continue it and we get into it all, we want to hear from you. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. And that's exactly what you've done, because calling us now, someone we're not really familiar with, Jamie Brown, I believe, Spurs fan, it says. We're not too sure. Jamie, how are you this evening?
You all right?
Yeah, Jamie, can you hear us?
Dodgy line, mate.
Dodgy line. Jamie, we're going to try to call you back. I think we're not great there. I don't know what's quite happened. Genuinely, it was a gag. We do know Jamie. I do want to speak to him. I don't know what has happened there.
He still wanted to ask a question from last week.
He wants to talk about Glenn Murray, and we've moved on from that game. We're not talking about Glenn Murray. Let's quickly talk about the manager, because the manager is still in charge. Obviously, Spurs fans want him to do well. Like you said, you would like nothing more than
I want him to still be there. Listen, I want to still be there as much as he wants to be there.
Completely, and we hope he is. But if the worst does happen, he walks, or, you know, Tottenham get rid of him, who would you want next? Because Ricky's answered. We'll ask Chris and Jace. Chris, we'll start with you. Who would you want next if the manager went away?
Start with Jace.
No one wants to go up here. Listen, we know
you're the only one to put my balls on the line, aren't I?
No, let's be honest. This is hypothetical, because all of you in the room would like nothing more than the manager to succeed. So we are sort of playing devil's advocate.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay,
right.
Go on. Oh!
I would love Pochettino to stay, and I'd love him to turn it around, but me being me, and I've said this many times on this show, I want to win trophies, even if it is the League Cup, FA Cup, whatever. And someone like Jose Mourinho would win those cups without doubt.
Yeah.
So he would be an ideal replacement. However,
above everyone else, you're saying Mourinho?
Yeah.
Wow, that surprises me. Jace, who would you say? Because I would say no, but...
I don't know who I'd say, but I definitely wouldn't want Jose Mourinho anywhere near my football club.
I agree. Why would you
say? Give someone, just give us an alternative.
I think Melbourne Glory or Perth or someone like that is as close as I want to be.
You can't pop out. Give us an alternative.
No, I don't want to change the manager.
What Charlie's asking you is that in the scenario that Maurizio feels he's taken the club as far as he can... You're not silly. You've got all those managers out of the pick from. Who would you like?
Well, how many managers in the world are there? 1,000? Well, pick any of the other 999 then. But anyone but Mourinho.
Okay, forget Mourinho then. Who would you like out there? Who else plans
to... No, that's not the question. Why wouldn't you want Mourinho? Because I agree.
Style of football is horrendous. I don't want to see Tottenham play boring. To me, as an older generation Spurs fan, how you win does matter to me. I do want to see football. And when the strange thing is about people with trophies... The respected managers and the ones that we have affection for is Redknapp, Yole, Pochettino, who won nothing. And the ones we despise are George Graham and Juan de Ramos, who both won a trophy, but played horrendous, boring football. So that's it. And the other thing I would say is, I take Chris's point about Mourinho being a proven winner and he will win at Tottenham, but how Mourinho wins, the tools that he's given to win... He won't be given at Tottenham to win that way.
But Chris, you would argue it's all about winning, and for you, you don't care about style; it's trophies.
No, I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying but it is ultimately
about style. But we do need trophies. 1991 was the last time we won the FA Cup.
That's not good.
Too long.
So you would sacrifice the style for the trophies? Would you? I'm asking.
I didn't say that.
No.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. You didn't say. I'm saying it. I'm asking
League
you.
League Cup 2008. It is too long. Mm. It really is. And I don't believe that we would sacrifice the style of
football. No, but I'm asking you.
No, I think it would. I think it would be a good style of football. Do you know what? I don't even want to answer this because I don't even want Mourinho in. You've asked me a question. Who would I like as manager if Pochettino weren't there? And I've given you the answer. I'm not talking about your style of football. I want Pochettino in, and I want Pochettino to turn our problems around.
I'm not happy. Jason's copping out and not even giving us an alternative manager. You got to give us.
I don't want another manager.
But okay, but the question is, I don't want another manager.
I tell you what, I'd sooner Arsene Wenger manage Tottenham than Jose Mourinho.
Well, that's an interesting point because weirdly we've got Lee Campbell on now, who's an Arsenal
proven
fan,
winner, isn't he?
And he wants to talk. Let's see what he has to say. This is quite strange. It's a Spurs fan show. Lee, what do you want to say to the guys?
You're right, lads. Again, just wanted to say, obviously, thank you for letting me on the show. I did call in the week before.
Yeah, we remember.
And I did get the score right. So I was trying to be getting that lotto and I didn't win. So something's going wrong. I just wanted to, firstly, just joining in that conversation. I think any of you lads sort of talking about Mourinho in, I mean, honestly, I think it'll be probably the worst thing in the world. I mean, I think hindsight's a wonderful thing. And we all know he is absolutely a terrible manager. So...
Define terrible manager in terms of what? It can't be in terms of trophies.
Okay, so I think in terms of trophies, you can say the same thing about Arsene Wenger, but that was before. Now he's finished, he's washed. Like, there's no point sort of talking about Arsene Wenger as a good manager anymore. I think Mourinho is now genuinely in the same boat. I mean, you just got to think, in terms of someone like Luke Shaw at Man United, the way he sort of hung him up to dry, you've got all of these young sort of brittle players at Tottenham, maybe someone even like Dele Alli, I don't think they would actually even work together. Someone like Harry Kane, I don't think that would be obviously good enough for Tottenham. So that's just my opinion on the case so far, I think.
And what did you want to say? Because you called in with a certain reason as well, Lee, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, I think looking at it, I do genuinely believe that anyone that does sort of want Poch out is actually crazy. Now, for me, it's going to sound probably weird to say, but the reason why I don't want Poch to go is because I actually like the rivalry with Tottenham now. I like that you are more competitive and whoever wins on the day, it just makes it more interesting. So if, for example, I genuinely believe that Tottenham are now a little bit better than Arsenal. So if we do actually beat you, which in my opinion, I think we should have won at home, if we do win, then it just makes it a little bit sweeter. That rivalry is obviously there and it's obviously more prominent. Maybe when I was like 15, 16, it was a little bit boring because it was like every game, like it was quite normal for us to beat you. So now it's a lot more, obviously, it's obviously a much more bitter rival. and it's obviously more competitive. But I just think a lot of fans are going a little bit overboard with this whole Poch out thing. And it, I mean, it does seem a little bit like when Arsene Wenger went and we kept losing all these games and like the players just weren't playing for him even though they kept coming out, Instagram posts and all of these Twitter posts and all this nonsense. But I do think that sort of getting rid of some of these players that just don't want to be there may actually benefit you. Now, I did say this from the start of the season to a couple of my mates that are Spurs fans. So maybe someone like Eric Dier, as I mean, I'm sure you guys have discussed, you wanted to play him, you see him play and he's shocking. So I think getting rid of some of these players who you believe that are good, and I personally don't think they're actually up to scratch. And I think last week I heard that that thing where you guys kept saying, don't get too attached to these players. Like emotionally, I think you're attached to someone like Eric Dier, or you're attached to Vertonghen. But I think you just get a clean slate, start again. And I think obviously you've got a great stadium. I've been there for NFL, so not to watch Tottenham ever. But I mean, I do think that getting rid of Poch is a bit of an overstatement. Like, I think it's just calmed down a little bit.
Well, Lee, we really appreciate you calling in to show. I do have to cut you, I'm afraid. This is the Spurs fan show. I can't give too much time to you, but honestly, we are thankful of your call.
I just think we should just emphasise a point again that if you're listening to this debate half an hour in, we're not sitting here saying we want the manager out.
No one has.
Of us at the moment still feel we want him to be there. It's just a question of whether he still wants to be there. And I think you had a question earlier about what would it take for maybe a change of manager at the club. I think the way Spurs will look at it is how big is that gap between fourth to the rest of the group to make up. But at the moment, let's be honest about it, in terms of the league position, we're still within a very comfortable position where we can still make that top four. So until that gap becomes a whole lot bigger, I don't see there being real pressure on Maurizio from the board's perspective.
Well, there's a whole host of different opinions tonight. Next, we will be hearing the thoughts of Jamie Bram. Love Sport. You're listening to the Spurs fan show. I have no control in this studio whatsoever.
The studio just carries on.
We go away and we continue, honestly. Don't you think we just sit there in silence? Because we don't, but you can get involved as well. Save me. Tweet us at Love Sport
Radio. Leave the Queen positivity back next week.
Call us.
Sorry, Lee.
I'll be gone if Lee's back. 0287820.
He's back next week. Mr. McQueen.
McQueen. I'm joking, Lee, obviously. I'm not. No, I am. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us on 0287820558. This is the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern and Chris Callin. It has been a fiery show so far, talking about the manager, talking about the team. Where do we stop? Well, we don't, because now joining us, it is Jamie Brown. I'm hoping, Jamie, you want to talk a little bit about Brighton and Glenn Murray.
Yeah, apologies about earlier. I think my
anyway, where are we going next
yeah,
in the
so
show?
Chris,
so, Chris,
what
are we doing now?
Jamie, we're winding you up. What do you want to say?
I wanted to bring a bit of good news. I think that for me, I think that Mauricio Pochettino would have left a long time ago or a while ago had he not believed in the project. I think that he's too good and he knows he has options elsewhere. I think if there was no long-term plan in place, I think he would have left the club. Now, also, I remember back to his painful rebuild comments. And for me, I think he anticipated this because I think when he was given the job, he knew that it was going to, you know, the funds were going to be very limited that you'd have during the build of the stadium. But now we're out. I think that obviously the rebuild needed to start earlier. So, you know, we didn't bring in enough players. So I think that he was expecting for it to be difficult the way it is. So for me, I'm remaining calm. I think that Maurizio and Daniel Levy could turn this around. Now, I know people will disagree with this, but I think that in the summer, I think we made a very good start to the rebuild. I think that although we didn't bring in enough players, I think that we knew that we needed to start this whole rebuild earlier. So I'm really backing the manager and the chairman to kind of turn this around in the next couple of windows.
Jay, are you not going to bottle this question like Jason has and just ask it hypothetically? Well, answer it hypothetically that if Maurizio turned around tomorrow,
I didn't bottle it. You didn't like my answer.
Well, no, you did bottle it. You didn't give an alternative.
Told your finger.
You didn't mean that. No, be honest, you didn't mean that. But, Jay, I'm going to ask you the question that if Maurizio decided he took the club as far as he could, hand his resignation in tomorrow, who would be your man to turn to in this situation if you had to pick from the managers out there?
I'm really sorry, Ricky. I'm going to have to go with Jason on this one.
Exactly.
And I'm going to probably bottle it. I really believe in Pochettino and I really don't want to talk about any other manager than Pochettino.
Spot on.
I just totally believe in him. as I said, I think that he and Vivi can turn this around. I think that there is a long-term plan in place because he's so good. You know, he's such a good manager. He's so highly wanted by many clubs. I think that he's got those options. And if he didn't feel that Spurs had a plan in place and knew that maybe now we're out the stadium, we're going to start spending money. I think we showed that in the summer. To spend £150 million on three players, on three really big players, I think that that's a great sign that we're ready to start and be really serious about this rebuild.
Wasn't but enough though, Jamie, was it?
It wasn't enough. No, I totally agree with that. But do you not think that it was a good start? Because I think that we got in three good players and
But we're going to have three good players leave.
But Chris, right, how much can they spend in one window? You say it wasn't enough.
When you know Christian Eriksen, Toby and Jan are leaving, then you need to spend more money.
Yeah, but there has to be a budget somewhere. I mean, £150 million is quite a lot of money to spend, Chris.
When you are so close, when you're two or three players away from really challenging for the Premier League, you've got to go out and spend their money.
I totally agree, but I think that it was realistic to... I don't think it was realistic to expect that we'd totally challenge with the likes of Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United in the transfer window whilst we were trying to build this new stadium. I think that for Levy and the club, it would have been a massive risk if they're going to spend huge sums to compete with, you know, these teams that we're trying to compete with. So I think that now we're out the stadium, I think the rebuild has started. And I think that that was probably when Pochettino knew that that rebuild would start. And that's why I think he said painful rebuild, because he knew that this season was going to be a very tricky one, because there were going to be results like this, because clearly there wasn't... We needed the rebuild to come earlier.
I don't think you can sit there and say, though, Jay, results like this. You know, no one could have anticipated the results we've had, to be honest.
No, totally. I don't think you would have predicted it would have been maybe as bad as this, but I think that he certainly was expecting that we'd have a very tricky time. And I think that I totally back him and Daniel Levy to turn this around. And for me, as much as it's very painful, I'm sticking by the manager, I'm sticking by the chairman, I'm sticking by the club, and I think they can all turn it around.
Yeah, Jamie, I completely agree. Thanks for calling in, Jamie. Hopefully we see you back in the studio next week. Jamie Brown there, part of the team as well here at Last Word on Spurs. We do have another caller who's called straight in. David, you want to talk about the manager as well, I believe.
Yes, hi guys. Great show again. Basically, I do believe he has to go. And I think one replacement that no one's really talking about is Ronald Koeman. I think he plays good football, exciting football. I think he wasn't given a fair chance at Everton. And you could just see what he's done with the Holland team, how he's turned them around. And I think he could come in and he could get these guys firing again.
Don't agree. don't agree at all.
Don't agree! You don't agree! I mean, you said Mourinho's a rubbish manager, but bearing in mind, he holds the record points total for Real Madrid.
That was Jason, I think. Was it Jason? Were you rubbish manager? Was it rubbish manager? No, wasn't you? Was it? You didn't say that about Mourinho.
I thought it was a rubbish manager.
No. I think that was a previous caller.
No, Chris wasn't saying they're rubbish managers. He completely 100% believes in the manager I have now. Doesn't want to talk about other managers. Everyone's, you know, rooting for Maurizio to get it right.
Who followed Pochettino into Southampton?
That's a good question.
Wasn't that Ronald Koeman?
No, Adkin. Sorry, who followed Pochettino?
Koeman followed Pochettino into Southampton.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that Koeman's been at Southampton and Everton. He hasn't got both those clubs right. I mean, again, for me, I understand what Chris is saying about not to about another manager, but the fact of the matter is that if Tottenham move on from Maurizio, it has to be for someone that has won trophies and, you know, has won big trophies, managed top players. That is what's going to attract top players to this football club. Am I wrong there, Jace? You look at me again like I'm mad. Am I mad? Why am I mad? Why's that mad saying that? We've just built a new stadium, a 55,000-seater stadium. We want to be contesting for the top prizes at the top of the league. Why is it mad to want the best? Why should I not want the best for the football club?
I didn't say he was mad.
But you look at me as if it's crazy.
I didn't say he was mad.
But am I going crazy
no,
what I'm saying?
Not at all.
You want to... In anything you do in life, you want to aspire to be the best. And I want the best for Tottenham Hotspur. I do not want, as I keep saying, the likes of Eddie Howe or Gareth Southgate. I want managers that are proven to win trophies, manage top players. How can Tottenham progress as a football club and carry on the rebuild unless the man in place can bring in better than what he's already got? And if you reflect on the summer, we knew it wasn't all going to be done over one window. But I still think when you look back now to not have got a right back, and yes, you can look at the fact that one fourth wasn't fit, obviously he got injured, I still think that we were left quite short, and I think to get towards January now, it's a massive task. But if Maurizio still believes in the project, then we have to believe in him.
As much as I love Poch, I've said this a number of times. How long can he go without winning a trophy at the club before everyone, all the Pochettino lovers, before they say, actually, we need a new manager? How long? It's his sixth season in charge.
Yeah, but so you're one of them, so how long?
This is why I thought that we would take the League Cup seriously this year. I really did. And when you've got, you know, going back to that game, having Son, Eriksen, Lamella on the bench, if you're going to put them on the bench and then bring them on, you might as well start them in the game and win the game. It's so frustrating, it really is.
How long, Jace?
I honestly don't know. My fear, if I'm being honest with Pochettino, is he won't get a side better in a rebuild than the side that we had the last year at White Hart Lane.
So have you saying that
Walker and Rose, okay,
so I just want to quickly say, David, thank you so much for calling into the studio. Really appreciate
you.
You
saying that then, you're saying he's not going to get a better side than that team.
No.
So then, realistically then, how long is he going to be at the football club if he isn't going to get a better side than that?
I don't know.
Pochettino will be manager as long as Tottenham finish in the top four, year in, year out, he will be our manager. End of.
Shall we discuss it then? Because I think that's the kind of topic that we're going to probably bring on to next about the board. Because I think one thing about the show that we aren't ever really told we discuss enough is the board.
We're going to do that heavily in the second hour for sure. So make sure you stay around for that. I just want to read a tweet that you've had in, and I think Chris will really like this one. Talk of the manager not being the manager anymore hurts me to my stomach like a fear of impending doom, a time of grieving. He is a man of great class, integrity and wonderful skills. We deserve success with him together. I see no reason why we still can't have that. Changing of the guard is a learning curve.
Great tweet.
He started this project, and you know, he should be there when we lift that trophy. He really should.
It's a travesty if we... I keep saying this. It's a travesty if we don't win something with this man in charge. But again, you just have to look at it and think... The fact of the matter is, my worrying concern is that if results don't improve and that gap between fourth to wherever we end up grows, I just do worry for him. And I just worry, again, how many players in that dressing room, and I know we've made a point, so we're not going to come on because we've done the players to death over the last few weeks about discussing their futures, and we know about their futures. How big can that gap go before I fear Spurs do press the panic button? I mean, again, we've heard him this week in Qatar saying that he's got a wonderful relationship with Daniel Levy, but the fact of the matter is that we know as fans how big that stadium is for them, the financials of getting into the Champions League, don't we, Chris? We know how big that is for them.
Having a rebuild and changing a lot of players, you know, we said this on previous shows, Eriksen, Toby and Jan are three players that all of us would have in the starting 11. You know, when they leave, you need reinforcement anyway, let alone three of your first team players leaving. That is one hell of a rebuild. So how much money needs to be spent before you're challenging for the likes of Liverpool and Manchester City?
And you would feel also...
Because we weren't that far away.
But you would also feel that he's only going to give that money to Maurizio Pochettino if he does feel he's committed to the football club.
Why would you give it to a new manager, another manager who is unproven, don't know the players, hasn't built the current squad? Pochettino's got to be that person to take us forward.
That's why it makes sense to keep with Maurizio, because he knows what this rebuild is about. He's spoken about it for a long time. Therefore, if it isn't him in charge leading that, does the next man know much better?
Well, who knows? Maybe do you know? Because you can tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Unbelievably, the first hour has drawn to a close, but I'm so lucky because Spurs, they do get a second hour. We're going to be talking all about it and the board, and you can still get involved. Coming up next is another hour of Spurs.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show with Last Word on Spurs. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern and Chris Callan. We're laughing, but we may be crying inside, but we're all laughing. We're having a good time anyway. The first hour has absolutely flown by. And in the next hour, we really do want to talk a little bit about the role of the manager and the board. It's really important for us. But as always, you can get involved tonight, and you have been doing so far. So thank you for the interaction. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. And we have exactly had that. We've had a call into the studio, and this time is Adrian, and he wants to talk about the board, Ricky, you'll be pleased to know. Adrian, what do you want to say tonight?
Well, first point I'd like to make about Poch, I actually think the perfect fit for Spurs when he leaves, which won't be for quite a while, would actually be Thomas Tuchel at PSG, and I think he'd come. He virtually gave a job interview when we played Dortmund in the UEFA Cup a good few years ago, and he took over from Klopp at Dortmund, didn't he, before he went to PSG. onto the board, I mean, I'd like to see three players bought in January and then drip feed the youth players in there. I mean, you've got Jafek Tanganga, he's left-footed. Timothy Iyoma, he's a right-footed centre-back. Even Tarek Hines can play at right-back. You know, and if you could get in Dybala and Nathan Aki and a right-back, I don't know who...
You don't want much, do you?
I'll tell you what. That's January, is it? Or is that a summer window?
Sorry?
Is that January or summer window, Adrian? Is that for January?
January. Oh, definitely January. We must have the money.
I mean, there will be
people leaving.
Yeah, I just hope that we're in a position in January where we're still close to the clutch of the clubs at the very top of the league to be able to attract the Dybala, because this is not, again, being negative. If Spurs are further down that league, it is going to be hard to attract a top caliber type of player.
I don't think so? Won't be up there at Christmas.
So you back the form to turn around on the Maurizio, yeah? You believe we can get through the sticky period? We all want to, of course.
Well, if we can't beat Watford, then I would start to worry. But it's too early in the season, you know. It's 30 games to go.
I don't see... The only way Dybala would come in January is if we are 100% sure Pochettino's staying for more than the next summer. That's for sure. I don't see Daniel Levy sanctioning a 80, 90 million pound player on 250 grand a week with everything else that Pochettino wants in, for Pochettino to walk away 4 months later and be stuck with the player. So, you know, if we're still going for Dybala in January, to me, that means Pochettino's committed to the thing.
I want Dybala, but Chris, I don't know if you agree that the more pressing concern at the moment will be we're losing Eriksen. Yes. We're going to potentially be losing Alderweireld.
Yeah.
Maybe losing the Vertonghen. Danny Rose, Spurs want him out. Ori has said competition's not good enough. How concerning is the defence and midfield as well?
The defence really worries me, because if you look at the whole of the defence, Danny Rose wanted out, you've got problems at right back. I personally wouldn't have sold Kieran Trippier without actually replacing him. I don't think Juan Foyth, I know they're talking about him playing at right back and then he got injured at the Audi Cup, but I don't think he's good enough. You've got Jan and Toby, contract problems. So the whole of the defence, there are issues. Midfield, you know, like I said, players don't look like they want to play. I think that all of us would actually be surprised on how many players will end up leaving in the next 12 months from Tottenham. But it is now just how much money are we going to spend? And I think that it is going to be a huge, huge rebuild, especially with some of these key players going.
Adrian, can I ask you, because we were going to bring onto the board, you were going to speak about it. You know, we've been thinking of how to introduce this section into the show. We're trying to make it as fair balance as possible.
Well,
where do you stand on the board?
Well, I would have thought the board will back Poch to at least the tune of about 150 million.
What, in January?
Yeah. I think they will. I think the money's there. I mean, and then it's a question of drip-feeding youth players into that team as well. But I know Lo Celso plays mainly on the right side midfield, number 10, right wing, but he's actually left-footed. So I can see Lo Celso being moved over to the left, or even Sessegnon playing left side of midfield. As Chris said, the defence is a major problem. But I've been very impressed with Jafet Tanganga anyway. I want to see, like, the young Sanchez brought back into that back four, because if these players are moving on, and they seem to have lost a yard of pace to me, Vertonghen, Alderweireld and Rose seem to have lost a yard of pace. As much as I've loved them all, and Eriksen, you know, the sentiment and attachment, you've got to cut the umbilical cord sooner or later, because they're not getting any younger. You know,
it worried me on Saturday with the Brighton game how the 19-year-old Connolly actually turned Toby Alderweireld inside out. He didn't know what he was doing, where he was going. And that third goal that went in, it was awful to watch.
I think Maurizio, as you've said it there, Adrian, I think he has to go back to his philosophy. While we fell in love with him when he was at the club, was bringing through youth players, the likes of Ryan Mason, Harry Kane, Harry Winks, you know, when he got Dele Alli from League Two and introduced him. And I think Spurs need to have this next wave of talent come in just to freshen up the team as much. Because I feel sorry for Maurizio one before we discuss about the ball, that he's not been able to really have Sessegnon fit or Lo Celso fit? Because if they were playing football, that's two extra players along with Ndombele in the side. I feel really sorry for him on that.
I agree, Ricky, but on Saturday, Ndombele, our record signing, £65 million, he looked like he didn't even want to kick a ball for us.
Do you not think
that's
also
worrying?
But
that is really worrying.
That,
he's just signed.
But do you not think also it's a case that he's just not fully fit and adapted to the Premier League yet?
It's all about attitude, though. Come on, you're playing for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. You're playing for Champions League finalists. We should not have an issue as well in even signing any player across Europe. Let's face it, when you're in the Champions League final, every player in Europe, everyone involved in football knows who Tottenham Hotspur Football Club are because of where they were. We should not have had a problem signing any player.
This is where Poch has got to put his foot down, Chris. I mean, if any of them players down tools or they're not going to up their attitude or up their game, then they have to be dropped. And one thing Levy will do, it won't be like other clubs like Chelsea and Man United where players can get the manager to sack. I don't believe Levy will let the tail wag the dog there because these players are near the end of their contract.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. Adrian, thank you so much for calling into the studio. We really appreciate you. Adrian's corner, as always, an integral part of the show. Let's talk about the chairman. Let's talk about the board. There is so much to begin with. We don't want to just scratch away at the surface. Ricky, where can we start with it all?
Well, this is what I'm going to say on the board of Tottenham. I think, again, with the board, you have to be very careful what you wish for. I've said from mine, as always said, Daniel Levy, I do believe, has the best interests of the football club at heart. Now, sometimes with that, he makes decisions that as fans we may not always agree with, that we sometimes feel hold us back, but I do genuinely believe that he does things in the best interest of the club. I mean, you see the stadium, you see the training ground. I do believe he's tried to put all the right things in place for a manager to be successful. But what I do think you could say could be levelled at the ball this season is, did they take their eye off the ball slightly when it comes to the squad and the investment of that? Because you've got so many players' contracts coming towards an end. Along with that, you've got players that want out. And I just wonder, you know, when Maurizio was saying in the summer that, you know, he is not the manager, he's the coach, he was kind of hinting that he wasn't happy with the summer business. And I think it's back to not getting out some of the players that he wanted to. And, you know, Jace, as we've always had that long-running debate in the summer about Danny Rose, and obviously he's a player that Spurs clearly wanted to move on. It didn't happen. And I think the biggest frustration at Tottenham haven't been able to move on the players they wanted to. And I wonder, is it because Spurs were asking for an inflated price on some of these guys, like we've seen with Daniel Levy? He likes to try and get as much for his money as possible. And you just wonder, has that hindered the development and the progress of the team overall?
Well, we sell every player for top dollar, and we want to buy every player on the cheap.
And at some point of that, you do unfortunately suffer, Chris.
Of course you do. And, you know, like I said out there before the show, I think we're going to probably be the only club ever in history to reach a Champions League final, you know, that classic line again.
I know, yeah.
But having not signed a player for 500 days, I don't think any club will ever do that again.
But does it mean anything if you don't win it?
No, it doesn't. But you cannot, like, the best teams in Europe sign players, you know, the best team. You can win Champions Leagues, you can win titles, you can win cups, and you still sign players. You have to sign players. You have to improve on your squad every transfer window, and we haven't. We failed to do that.
Well, Jace, we're getting into talking about the board now. Where do you stand on it all?
I've always said with the board, we would love more funds. We would love them to put more into the club, but if they're not doing it and there's no person trying to buy the club, you just have to accept the fact. You know, I've always said that this whole Levy in, Levy out business, when somebody comes along with a £3 billion offer for him, you can talk about it. But until then, you just have to understand that that's the way we're going. You know, people will say we don't pay the wages. You look at it, we have the sixth biggest turnover and we have the sixth biggest wage bill. You know, that is the acceleration of the club into a really challenging club has gone much further than the income levels of the club. So, you know, if you want to pay so-called wages that Manchester City, Man United's and that pay, but your income is about £300 million less than Man United's, it's very hard to pay those wages.
I think we also have to make a point in saying, just on the board, that the board are not the reason why Tottenham Hotspur have not won an away game for 9 months.
No.
And you can't just, you know, it's very easy when Spurs aren't doing well on the pitch to then start looking off it. And again, I said, and when that window shut in the summer, I did say that I felt the squad was short, and I still believe that. I still were concerned about right back. I know Jamie still believes that Wanfoyf is going to develop into a top right back. I'm not too sure on that, and I totally agree with you, Chris. I think it was a big mistake selling Kieran Trippier and not getting a recognised right back in his place, the likes of someone like Atal or someone proven that's of a top level. I just think it was a risk going into the season. If you want to be a club that pushes on...
Why was it wrong to sell Kieran Trippier? Was he good enough?
No, he wasn't. No,
so
okay.
There you go.
The issue is not selling Kieran Trippier.
It was our first choice,
and it's not replacing him with an adequate right back.
Whether he's first choice or not, if he's not good enough, he's not good enough.
But if the man next through isn't good enough, or at the same level as Kieran, then you're going backwards a little.
No, what I mean is,
I know
if you keep
exactly
a player
what you're saying,
that's
Jace,
not good enough, that you know is littered with mistakes, that you know can't defend one on one. What's the point in keeping him?
Whether he's the best one available or not,
he's still not good enough.
You're missing the point, Jace. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, but you don't get rid of a two-bedroom house for a one-bedroom when you're trying to get three, do you?
Exactly. Yeah. but the mistake is, if
your two-bedroom house is quite better.
The mistake is not replacing Kieran Trippier with a right-back. That's my argument is not letting Kieran Trippier go. It's not bringing in someone to replace him.
That's the mistake, is not getting a better right-back.
Yes, that's what we're... So we all agree on that then.
If Connolly at Brighton is running at Kieran Trippier, he still scores that goal Saturday.
Oh, it's contentious.
I know, but
Chris.
He still scores the goal, doesn't he?
We're just sitting here saying that do you not agree the mistake was not to get a right back?
If he's running at Walker Peters, or he's running at Trippier, or he's running at Aurier, he still scores the goal. So why are you worried about we sold Trippier? Getting Wan-Bissaka, fine.
I'm analysing the summer business, saying to you that I don't think we did enough at right back. That's fair, isn't it?
It's fair. I'm just saying, why keep a player that you know is not good enough? Just because you haven't got anyone better, you're still keeping a player that's not good enough.
You're leaving yourself paper thin.
But you're no worse off, are you, keeping a second choice and a first? Why? If the player isn't good enough and you know all the mistakes are in his game, why do you want to keep him?
Yeah, I know, but you don't, on top trumps, you don't pick your second highest best ability,
well,
do you?
I do.
It's a great game. You know, you go for number one, you try to get the card, you're trying to get better, aren't you? You're trying to win the game.
You're trying to get better, so buy a really top quality right back, but don't be scared to sell somebody you know is not good enough.
So do you put that down as a failure to the board for not got a alternative right back into Kieran Trippier? Or do you believe they were doing the right thing by giving the faith to Pochettino with Foyth to say, yo, he's good enough in time?
That's the thing. Pochettino has done it time and time again. We needed a defensive midfielder and he turned Eric Dier into one. You know, whenever we seem to need someone in a position,
you could coach him.
Pochettino coaches them into that position and he does a very good job. And he's done a very good job in the last, 6 years he's been there.
Also, Christo, it's another job for him to do. It's another hole for him to fill. It's another position he needs to buy for. If he says, these are my three targets, now I've got to go out and get a right back.
Until Pochettino sits there in a press conference and actually says to the fans, not hinting about things, I can't stand all this hinting, either say something or don't. You know, until he comes out and says, I didn't get enough money, I wanted these players and I didn't get them. You know, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that we didn't sign more players? Is it Pochettino? Did he want players and we didn't get them? And we didn't get the deals done? Whose fault is it?
I think it's well documented as well that during that period where Tottenham didn't sign a player for 500 days, Maurizio was offered players. He was the one that turned them down. Mm. And I think also, maybe part of it is that he's very careful about the players he wants to bring into the football club. We know it's about characters and profiles. He won't just bring anybody in. Yeah. And I still feel the biggest thing that's held Tottenham back over this last 2 or 3 years is not refreshing the squad. You saw the stat on Match of Day. I forgot where that Brighton game is. I don't really remember by it. But that stat went up. I think Spurs have still got 7 or 8 of the same players there that were there 5 or 6 years ago. And that's where the problem is. Sir Alex Ferguson, when he was at Man United, was a big believer in always refreshing the squad. And that's why they were young, hungry, competitive, always wanted to win. And the problem is, the truth is, it's gone stale at the club. And this is where now you need the refresh.
Need the refresh. Big words there. As always, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 028 70 20 558. When we come back, we will be talking about that rebuild.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say in the studio with me, Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern, Chris Callan from The Last Word on Spurs. I do believe now we've got another caller into the studio. Richard, thanks for calling up and giving us a little bit of your time. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, guys. Ricky, hi, Savas. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, my friend. You?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. I'm sure you're looking forward to this phone call.
You're very respectful on here. What's going on?
I'm always respectful when I'm on here, mate. It's just Twitter, yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Mate, listen, okay, 3 points, if I may.
Of course.
So I'll make them as quick as I can. So first and foremost, I want to talk about Poch. Okay, so as you know, I'm a staunch Poch out man. You know, I don't think that he's tactically got what it takes to take us any further. I think that he's managed Spurs during a period when a lot of the other top four or so-called big four were going through transition periods. And I think now that our team has kind of plateaued, he doesn't look like he's got any idea on what he needs to do. His tactics look terrible. His substitutions look terrible. And he doesn't seem to be able to bring anybody through that will make a difference from the youth. The second point, I want to talk about Daniel Levy. First of all, I keep getting accused of, because I say I want Poch out, that I'm sticking up for Daniel Levy, who I think is absolutely cancerous to our club. I think I keep seeing posts from people saying, look how wonderful he is with this deal, with that deal, with this marketing. Listen, Ricky, I'm a football fan. You're a football fan. I don't care what the marketing deal is. I don't care how much the club is worth. I care that I haven't seen a captain lift a trophy for 12 years now, and I've seen one in 20 years. And my final point, so I'll give you a lot to chew on, would be our fans are half the problem. And I don't mind. I know I'm going to offend a lot of fans, a lot of people that are listening from the Twitter fan base, but we have got absolutely zero ambition as a fan base that we stick up for what has been an absolutely turgid run of form going back 9 months. Now, we have, as you know all the facts, you know, the 6 wins in 20, 18 defeats in 37, no away wins in 10. That's not the board. That's Pochettino. He's not able to beat anybody unless it's Crystal Palace or Aston Villa. Everything's got to change, mate, and the fans have got to stop thinking with their heart and start thinking with their head. So I'll be interested to see what you boys pick out of all of that.
Well, I think cancerous is one hell of a word to use about somebody. So, you know, I take the point. Daniel Levy, for some, isn't the right chairman, and that one trophy in, what is it, 18, 19 years isn't enough. But like I've always said, until somebody else surfaces, do you want Mike Ashley to run Tottenham? Do you want Randy Lerner to run Tottenham? Do you want Ellis Schalke to run Tottenham? There is, of course, we would all love Manchester City's chairman. And to a degree, some of us would like Roman Abramovich from, what is it, 15 years ago. But that's two chairmen. And there's what? If the last 60 takeovers, two clubs have improved and 58 have been no better off. So that's the problem. If you can find me the chairman that will absolutely guarantee that he'll invest $3 billion into Tottenham and he's quite happy to break all the FFP rules and he'll go out and spend money on absolutely anyone the manager wants, then fine, bring him to the table. But until he arrives at the table to talk to the club, what do we do? Do we just sack Daniel Levy and have who runs the club when we sack Daniel Levy? Or when Daniel Levy goes, who's running the club?
Okay, can I respond to that? That's all right. I think, is that Jace, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, Jace, let me respond to that. So first of all, I think, yeah, I take your point on board. I really get narked when people say things like, do we want Mike Ashley running the club? Because, yeah, that's one really bad example. We've got to remember that our owner is worth over, what is it, £5 billion? £6 billion. Yeah, if he doesn't want to invest the money, then sell it. Yeah. Second of all, I'm not talking about winning leagues, Jace. I'm talking about we have a manager that sits there and says, cups won't take our club any further forward. But as fans, don't we deserve that day out? Don't we deserve that one cup that Pochettino keeps brushing aside because he thinks he's more important than those cups, when really he's been a managerial failure?
Savo, Chris here. I completely agree with you on the cups. To last win an FA Cup in 91 and a League Cup in 2008 is just ridiculous for a club like Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. And I would like our manager to, you know, like you've just said, have a day out, have that day at Wembley and win a cup. And I can't believe in all this time that has gone by of Pochettino managing us and we have not lifted one of those cups. But he just isn't interested.
Yeah.
It is just not what the club want. It is not what he wants. He wants the Champions League and he wants the Premier League. And my point, and I've said it 100 times, if we're going to go for those, and I know we got in the Champions League final last season, and that kind of smokescreened the league form over the last, you know, few months. But we need to spend the money. We need to spend the money if we're going to go for the Premier League.
Would you say he wanted to lose the final to Chelsea in the final?
No,
we've
had this discussion a number
would
of times.
Would you say
Jace?
He wanted to lose the semi-final to Chelsea last year and the semi-final to Man United?
There were decisions in those
Jace,
games.
Yes, I do.
What, wanted to lose those semi-finals?
Yes, Jace. If I could just jump in and say yes, I do. Because all I see across all the forums, you know, the Twitter, the Facebooks, wherever the podcasts are, is people talking to me about his magic, you know, Poch's magic, what he's done, what he's coached. Now, we're talking about a manager that a few years ago against Man United in the FA Cup semi-final dropped Lloris and Kyle Walker. We're talking about the year after playing Son at left wing-back. We're talking about North London derbies dropping Toby Alderweireld for 1-4.
But I think we have said, just to pick up your point, I think we have said, if you listen to our shows, I know you've been fairly critical in the past, but I think we have said in the past that Maurizio's selections and his tactics haven't been good enough at times. I think we have said that. I don't know if you, I mean, I know you probably don't listen, maybe you don't listen in, that's absolutely fine, it's not a problem at all. But I think we have all been critical of, you know, both his stubborn approach to certain games. I think our concern now, I mean, it's a question I'll ask you, that if he goes tomorrow, who do you want in the hot seat?
So this is a contentious debate, isn't it? So for me,
my concern at the moment is I worry where the board is on this, Sav, because I think to myself, are they realistically going to be able to work with a Mourinho, an Angelotti, and Allegri, or are they more likely to go towards a Southgate or a Howe? And that's what worries me about the debate where we say about Pochettino. Yeah. That's what concerns me.
Completely agree with you. I think where I come from, and I was having this chat with a couple of Spurs fans, I won't name them, chatting earlier about Mourinho. Now look, by no stretch of the imagination, Ricky, am I a fan that goes, oh my God, bring in Mourinho, he's going to play this wonderful Johan Cruyff football. Mm. But I look at what Mourinho did with an appalling Man United squad. Now in the end, it didn't work. But in that season, he still managed to win the League Cup and the Europa League, right? With a poor squad that he hadn't had for 4, 5, 6 years like Pochettino's had. But if we want to go a bit more creative, then what's wrong with trying to go to Ajax and getting a Ten Hag? What's wrong with that? Are you telling me that even if we got, again, just before everyone berates me, I'm not advocating getting Eddie Howe, but people making out like, oh my God, we'd get Eddie Howe, he's terrible. Could Eddie Howe do any worse than 18 defeats in 37 games?
Do you know, I'm surprised, though, Sav, you even put Eddie Howe into the bracket of what you want, because you're talking to me about winning trophies and you're looking to win things. I don't know how that would ever work.
No, in fairness, he wasn't saying he wants him.
I'm not saying I want him.
Could Eddie Howe do any different to Pochettino at the moment?
I mean,
thank you. I see where you're coming from. I mean, listen, for me, again, I am, you read my tweets, you know what I'm like, I know you call me sentimental, I am bloody sentimental, I want to see the guy, for all the work he's put in, Sav, I just think it is an absolute travesty if he doesn't go and win something. Sav, listen, I know you're in your mind now, it's fine, you're fixated, you want him out, I get that, you're fixated, you want the chairman gone, I get that, but do you not have it in your heart somewhere, for the amount of work he's put in, don't you want to see him win something with his team?
I would have, but the thing is, for me, Ricky, is I think we've gone past that. So as much as I can be really critical, right, and we all know I can be overly critical because I'm desperate for success, and obviously Chris has seen me on Twitter, you've seen me on, you guys know what I'm like. But the difference is, I wanted to see him win things when we were at our pomp. And that's what I'm talking about, to answer Jace's point from earlier, that in those big games, in the semi-finals, why did he make all of those tactical decisions? For a bloke that's not won anything, put your best 11 out. Go and win the game, get that first trophy, and then we'll all go, look at what this guy's done. But now, my worry is he's going to go, and in 10, 15 years' time, everyone's going to look back and go, that bloke did a good job, got to a final, but ultimately the record books show that we didn't win anything. And he falls into the bracket as the same as the other managers. Didn't win anything.
Sava, can I just ask, how long have you felt that you want Pochettino out?
From last season, because the football changed. The football was good. When we had Kyle Walker and Danny Rose flying down the wings, you know, you had Moussa Dembele and Wanyama in the middle making sure things were tight. You had Dele Alli, who, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but was scoring goals. now it just seems that we've come away from that, and Pochettino looks like he's come away from that. And that's my big query on him as a manager is, why has he stopped doing those things?
I did make a point earlier, didn't I, where I said, I don't think any new Tottenham will be any better than that 2016-17 summers, when it was the two flying fullbacks. It was Toby and Yan at their best. Dembele and Wanyama were beasts. Ali was hungry. Yep. Kane was fresh. So I don't think the Tottenham side will be better than that side.
Well, Sava, we really appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much, Sava, for your time. A real pleasure to speak to you tonight. Sava there, just having his thoughts on the manager, the chairman, the board.
I know he might still be listening. He's a lot more calmer in he's a lot more calmer on radio.
My first time speaking to him. I enjoyed it. But we are going to talk about the board because we keep saying it. We never get there. I know there are so many questions. And we've had some WhatsApps and tweets in, and we're going to be getting to those next.
Love Sports.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show. I've lost it. I have no control of the studio.
What is going on
whatsoever? I feel like a ref sometimes, an umpire, and I'm not because I couldn't even use a uniform for footlocker. It's not working. But you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show with the last word on Spurs. I'm joined by Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern, and Chris Callan. We are talking everything about Spurs, and you are getting involved tonight. There's been a WhatsApp into the studio. I'm pretty scared to read it. I don't think you're going to agree with it. It says, "Hi, it's Reese. I don't want the manager to go, but if he does, I want to see Rafa Benitez at the club." What do you make of that from Reese?
Well, he fits Ricky's job description.
I'm not having that.
Ricky wants
that.
Approval
Sorry,
winner
I'm not
that's
having
worked
that.
With big players.
No, I'm not having that, Jason. What do you mean it fits Ricky's description? At least I had the ball to give an alternative. You can give me an alternative. You just fixated. It's back the manager.
Turn
back
that reverse
the manager.
Light off,
give us a give us an alternative.
What? Rafa Benitez is an alternative.
Oh, for you, is it an alternative?
Don't want him, but I didn't say
give
that.
Give us an alternative.
You said
you're bottling out of it, Jace. You're bottling
you
out of it.
You said the job description should be somebody who's proven a winner, knows the Premier League, has worked with big players. Rafa Benitez says yes to all three.
But what I will bring up is, in the point that Chris mentioned during the break, is that Rafa Benitez is used to working under a chairman that doesn't particularly spend a huge amount of money.
So that actually fits Tottenham's profile more than Mourinho.
But we have to be realistic, Jace, that we know now, with what's going ahead, it is going to take a huge sum of money to try and rebuild Tottenham back to what you mentioned, that 16-17 side. Am I fair to say that?
Yeah. But will you get that money?
But you have to if you want to take the club forward.
Well, let's see what Matt thinks, because we've got another caller into the studio. He wants to talk about the general situation at the club. Matt, thank you for calling into the studio. We really appreciate that. What are your views and thoughts of Spurs at the minute?
Well, it's not great. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Matt.
I hate talking about rival clubs, but I love the way Chelsea are playing at the moment. You know, we were doing that a few years ago. I just think he has to go back to some of the youth, you know. I think he's got to get, obviously, rid of some of the deadwood. I don't think the centre-backs are good enough anymore. I just think they're lacking confidence. And I just think we need another Harry Kane versus Aston Villa moment to try and, you know, get a bit of fight into the team. And, you know, we need a bit of luck as well.
Do you think, Matt, the reason why he's been hesitant in bringing in those youngsters is if that he's concerned then just not good enough? That's only my reservation. That if he felt they were good enough, he would bring Skip in. He would bring Skip in more, Parrot in more, Tanganga in more. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, but I mean, nothing else is working. They can't do much worse. They're young. They'll fight for the team and they will press because they haven't been drilled into them for 5 or 6 years. You know, if you're looking at someone like Vertonghen and Aldevira, maybe they're just getting sick and tired of being told to press, and maybe they can't take it as much as we think they can. You know, they're in their 30s. You know, age does take a part, and you know, to go from second and fifth, like best pressing team, to 17th is quite alarming, really.
It almost matches exactly, doesn't it? Whether it's purely coincidence, it's the age rate of the team as well. Where we've gone from, what is it, third youngest to 17th. Old, you know, 17th youngest at exactly the same time as we've gone from second in pressing down to 17th in pressing in that way. So it's almost whether that's purely coincidental, but I would imagine there's something in that anyway.
I just think if there are players in the Tottenham team that don't want to be there, and they've clearly said that they don't want to be there, then, Matt, I completely agree with you. Put the youth players in, because they're not going to do any worse, and they will actually be up for the fight. They'll be playing for the badge, and they'll want to be there. And that's what you want. You want the competition at the moment, and you want the players to want to play for the manager and play for the football club.
Yeah, I want them to play for the shirt, and I just want them to play with some heart, you know?
Yeah.
There's a way of losing, and there's obviously a way of winning. I definitely don't want Jose Mourinho, I think, or Rafa Benitez. I think it's quite negative football. And with Tottenham, we play entertaining football. That's the way I've been brought up with Tottenham. That's the way I want it to stay. Poch is the man, and he will turn it around.
I hope you're right. That's what we all want. We all want him to turn it around.
Regarding, obviously, an alternative manager, whether you can get him or not, I'd love Diego Simeone, but...
Blimey, and you think that's entertaining football?
You just said he'd turn it around. What are you talking about other managers for?
but you just said you don't want negative football.
But they play quite positive football as well. If you watch Atletico this season, they've turned Kieran Trippier around a little bit, haven't they?
Very interesting, Matt. We really appreciate you calling into the studio. Some strong views there, as always, as it has been for the duration of the whole show. Let's talk about the board, because we really want to dig in. And Ricky, I know you've got some questions that we want to talk about now, haven't you?
Well, I mean, let's discuss some of the questions that Jason's delivered on the script there. Like Pochettino, the players are throwing him under the bus. Jason McGovern.
Jason, have you done the script tonight? Because I've got to say, it was very good tonight.
We're often accused of not discussing the board and being critical with Daniel Levy and being happy clappers and things. And so we posed various questions on that script that lots of the people that are critical with Daniel Levy have been asking time and time again. So we said we cover those issues.
We still believe he's going to be here till January, Maurizio, do we?
What's that got to do with Daniel Levy?
Let's ask a question. We still believe he'll be here, right, till January? Because I think that will maybe dictate, obviously, what happens in January's window.
I believe he'll be here till the next international break. Depending on how many points we get, we'll determine if he's there beyond it.
You've got a question here, Jace. Pochettino has talked about fixing it in January. Do you think Levy will sanction the level of investment that is needed in January, regardless of the players available?
No. I think if he gets to January, we had that earlier caller saying we'll spend 150 million. I don't see us spending 150 million in January. Even if we want to spend it, I don't think Maurizio Pochettino will just rush out and spend it on anyone. So I don't think you'll fix it to the degree that it needs fixing in January, because Pochettino himself has said we don't buy players in January because the players we want aren't available.
And you're also saying...
But he said this time that he needs to go out and spend in January. We need to fix in January.
He does, but the players that... The calibre of players that we need to fix are just simply not available in January.
I agree.
Because there are massive clubs involved in Champions League football, most of them, and they are not going to sell them in January. And the other problem that I brought up the other day is, let's hope we're still involved in the Champions League in January. You can only make 3 changes to that squad. So if you get rid of 7 players from the current squad and buy 7, there's 4 of them can't play in the Champions League.
Okay, so do you think then when he talks about January, it's about weeding out the players that are being divisive behind the scenes?
Quite possibly it's getting rid of some more... I think that he'd like more outs than ins in January, and he probably would. I think if you said to him, do you want Dybala and one other, he'd probably take that in January and get rid of some of the others. I mean, for me, the chance in January is to be really creative. Christian Eriksen, let's say, we know he's going to leave on a free, and people... So why leave it until next year? Why don't we say to him, look, if you want to go to Real Madrid, let's do a loan deal with Real Madrid in January, or just give him the free transfer in January, because what is the point of holding on to him for those 4 months if you can't use him?
I totally agree. Get his wages
off the book and let him have the free transfer in January.
Well, before we carry on the questions, we're going to go to a quick break, because there are a certain few more and we will get to the bottom of them and deliver the answers in the fallout. This is the Spurs Fan Show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us on 0208 7020 558. The board questions will continue next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. We are in the last home stretch. I'm joined by the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks, Jason McGovern and Chris Callan. They're still laughing. I'm still crying. No, we're talking all about Spurs. We're talking about the ball now. Ricky, I know we was getting into the questions then. You've still got a lot more, haven't you?
Yeah, another one here. This is the question Jason's put here. Is the primary concern of Daniel Levy the balance sheet or an on-the-pitch success? And could he do more in securing additional investment from Joe Lewis?
Oh, there you go. There's a fair question, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think, yes, Daniel's primary concern is mainly the balance sheet at the moment. Could he do more to get extra funding? We've said we would love him to push Joe Lewis for extra funding, but if Joe Lewis isn't going to put it in, we just have to... If Joe Lewis wants to invest in yachts and paintings and golf courses, then you can't change that, can you? And he's clearly after what? How many years have Enoch had it now? Is it 2003? So that's what, 16 years? It's not going to change. So until that board sell up, you won't get that extra investment in. Does he care about the balance sheet? Yes, he does. But there's nothing to be ashamed of in caring about the balance sheet in a business. I'd love him to spend more money, absolutely, but when you have spent that stadium, you have got to watch the balance sheet. You can't just chuck money around. But yes, we would love to see extra money go into the club.
The frustrating thing, though, Jace, what every single Spurs fan sees, and Tottenham, you know, advertise it and promote it a lot, is there's so much money coming into the club, Certainly with the new stadium and everything else. So when we see all of these deals going down and all this stuff happening in the club, we then think, well, why aren't we spending the money? Why is that money not being invested into the team on the pitch? That is the frustrating thing. And I speak to a lot of Spurs fans, and I think that is a very, very fair point.
Absolutely.
Tottenham as a business is probably one of the best businesses in the world.
Well run.
Very, very well run. But all we see as fans is we want to see the trophies lifted. We want to see the money going into the team. And it, you know, let's face it, it's not enough, is it?
I said we would like to see more money going in there. There's no doubt about that. We're asking us to invest in the way that realistically now what Manchester City and Liverpool have done. Manchester City's turnover is what? 700 million to our 400 million. There's a difference in there. So you have to get the business side right to try and close that gap. And we're trying to do that because Joe Lewis won't do that extra investment.
But if Mauricio Pochettino was so close, like we have been in the last few years, so close.
That will make even more want to do it, wouldn't it? I agree with you, Sandris. Yeah.
When he says, I'm not interested in the League Cup, not interested in the FA Cup. I want to aim big. I want the Champions League and the Premier League. When we are going for those huge trophies, when we are so close, why would you not invest in that little bit more money in getting those key players in to push us over that line? That is the really frustrating thing for me.
It's frustrating for me as well because, yes, I would love to have signed one or two extra £60 million players. I've never denied that. I'd love to do it. But they've got to be, number one, they've got to be the players that the manager really wants. Mm. And that if people say to you, why don't you go and sign Draxler? How does the manager even know if he wants to sign Draxler? So, you know, getting the players is the right thing. So that's why I say back the manager. Tell the manager who he wants and go and get them. But that player as well, what we have to understand to a degree is how attractive were Tottenham in that time?
Yeah, but
if you had the choice to
Tottenham
join Liverpool, Manchester City
now.
Or
that's
Tottenham.
The point you're making though, Chris, is now the
summer just gone. Yeah, it was exactly. The most attractive time in probably our lifetime.
I agree.
You know, the most attractive time of any player in Europe wanting to sign for a big club. Brand new stadium, fantastic manager, likes of Harry Kane, Champions League finalist, blah, blah, blah. You could go on forever. It is the most attractive time to actually get some players in. So to find us now in the position where we are, having played 8 Premier League games, lost 3, it's quite poor, isn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely it's poor. But the players that we want, as attractive as we are as Spurs fans, is Manchester City, Liverpool or Tottenham more attractive if you're, I don't know, if you're Isco and those three clubs come in for you? Who are you choosing?
It's an interesting bet. We're gonna continue it, but we have had another call into the studio. I think Chris was making some really valid points there. Craig has called us into the studio now. Craig, what would you like to say?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me, lads?
We can hear Chris. Yeah, Craig, sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah, I just think, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, it doesn't look good at the minute. And it seems like that we're falling down like a house of cards. But if you're going to be kind of really, you know, pragmatic about it all, or just take a step back, in the years that Pochettino's been here, you know, this is the only kind of lull that he's had. And that's following the Champions League final. I don't want to be one of these people that says, oh, we got the Champions League final, it makes it all right and stuff like that. But let's not forget, he kept the house together last year with all the issues with the stadium and the are we moving in and when we moving in and the fans jumping up and down about that, keeping the squad together and everything else. You know, there are some times when you are going to have a lull as a team. And if this is it, then this is it. I think all of this, oh, let's get rid of him, oh, let's get Mourinho in, you know, the perennial moaners on Twitter that just moan every single day, so they're going to be right at least once in a blue moon. I just find it's just sort of a bit crazy, you know, to be honest. This is Spurs at the end of the day. It's, you know, I just don't understand where people are coming from.
I totally understand what you're saying. I just think some fans, listen, we're all different ages in terms of what we've experienced as supporters, and the younger generation coming through, they are used to now regular Champions League football, being in Europe, and, you know, for maybe, I say, Ireland.
And to be fair, where did that come from?
You know, it came from Mauricio Pochettino.
Levy and Pochettino are the ones that have set that expectation. Because before them, trust me, and as you guys will probably know, the 80s, even the 80s, you know, Hoddle wanted to leave at the end of the 80s because we were so underperforming at times, as did Waddle financially, so did other players as well. The only reason these people have got a platform to moan is Levy, is Pochettino. They've set the table for this level of moaning, and now all of a sudden everyone's turning around and going, Levy needs to go, Pochettino needs to go. If it weren't for them, you know, come on, let's get it right. You know, let's really get it right. And us as fans have got a bit of a responsibility to kind of say, you know, teams turn up at football matches. They don't turn up to roll over just because we're Spurs. You know, they come to win. The Premier League is not the same Premier League as it was 10 years ago. Every team's a game team now. Every team's got a decent spine or a decent player that can hurt you. You know, and we're turning up thinking, oh, well, we should win every game because we're Spurs and X, Y, Z. I find it astonishing, to be honest. I really do. And you just think to yourself, you know, us as fans, you know, we all sit here and go, well, we deserve better. I think Pochettino deserves better than some of the fans and some of the comments we get sometimes. I really do.
Yeah, interesting points there, Craig. Thank you for joining us. Please always feel free to call into the studio. We really appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. Craig, there, some strong view. It's been a good night for that. Yeah, really good call. Yeah, yeah. All making points and on the board, Ricky.
I think the point is that when obviously people defend the board or are against the board, we've all at different ages experienced different things as a Tottenham fan. And if I say for some of the younger generation, I know it's like they go to school, they get bantered, it's part of life. You want to win trophies, you want to see your team progress. And I think the difficult thing is that we've been emotionally scarred, certainly me in the past, by watching Tottenham grow up, that this is probably, you know, the last couple of years, that was the best I've ever known. And sometimes it is about being fearful, taking that step into the unknown. At the same time, at some point, we are going to need to do that. We are going to need to spend more money if we are going to need to seriously challenge Man City and Liverpool. That's just a given fact. I don't see it happening the next couple of years again at Leicester. Am I wrong in saying that? I just don't see that happening.
But it's what I've said, Ricky, many times. This is sixth season in charge with this rebuild. So when, realistically, are Tottenham Hotspur going to be ready to challenge for the Premier League and have a good enough team and squad to do so?
Let's be honest about it. It seems that it's going to be a while because he's having to rebuild this team, Chris. And that's not what you want to hear. But
so 9th or 10th season you're talking?
I don't think he'll get to a 9th and 10th season himself and still beat the football club and not win anything. I don't think he'll go the same way Wenger went, where he'll be hounded out.
When is it going to be? When is it going to be before Daniel Levy and the board are going to say, OK, enough's enough? Because I don't believe that. I think that as long as Tottenham finish 4th every year, regardless of whether we want as fans to win an FA Cup or a League Cup or whatever, if we play Champions League football every year, that is considered as he is doing a good job. He's clearly being given that goal to do that every year, and that is his task.
Where it changes, maybe, is if you do bring a new owner in, he'd be a lot more demanding of that. And a new owner may well come in and say, he's
but that
not
might not
owner.
Happen.
No, it might not happen.
To answer your question, I don't know, Chris. I want Tottenham to win trophies. Therefore, I will say this point again, that for me, as much as I love the manager, if he wanted to go, we have to move on. Tottenham are bigger than Maurizio Pochettino. That's a fact. We're supporters of Tottenham Hotspur. So the club will still go on. The same way I loved Martin Jol. You know, football evolves, players leave. I've learned that as a Tottenham fan. Just generally, don't ever get attached to a player or a manager because they don't stay around forever.
Hold on a minute. Hashtag don't sell Danny Rose.
Chase, you're going to go at me with that. Okay, listen. Let me just say very quickly. I know you're going to cut me here, Chaz. I know we're out of time.
No, Danny Rose, I was very clear in the summer
that for me, Danny Rose, I would have let him go if someone adequate was good enough to come in and replace him. I still stand by that point. Should Danny Rose be sold in January? Yes, he should. Should Tottenham bring in another left back? Potentially. I don't know what Ryan Sessegnon's going to turn out like, Jace.
But that hashtag wasn't, we shouldn't sell Danny Rose unless we can get it. It was, don't sell Danny Rose.
But you understand what that hashtag was about. You're trying to wind me up.
Will Tottenham ever spend big to challenge for the Premier League title?
Well, I said it earlier, didn't I? I don't see Tottenham buying a side better than the 16-17 side.
Under Pochettino?
Under anyone.
What a way to end a show.
Under anyone. I don't think Tottenham have
That's
got...
That's it. Keep your chins up, lads.
So we might as well have gone to Colchester then, Jason. Won the League Cup tie, eh?
Won the League Cup.
That you dissed a few weeks ago that I said about, let's go for a League Cup.
Seriously, I think the level of spending that we'll do will never get a better side than the 16-17 side.
Well, this is the last word on Spurs. Who's going to have the last word to end it? How are we ending this one tonight? Who wants the last word?
Bounce back.
Got to.
Please.
Got to.
I'll tell you, it's an international break, you're definitely going to bounce back.
Can
I be honest with you, listen, as much as I'm going to enjoy the weekend being away from Spurs for the moment because it's killing me, please bounce back. We want to talk about positive things.
Well, we're going to bounce back next week. We will be here again every Thursday night, 7 to 9. This is the Spurs Fan Show with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Jason McGovern, Chris Cowling. But up next, it is Cholton.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.